This is The Poet and the Poem from the Library of Congress, but of course we're on remote, and we are with scholar and poet Jerry Ward, and he's going to say hello with an opening poem.
Yes, I'm going to say hello with the poem that I read in D.C. many, many years ago for Grace. It is in the anthology that she edited, D.C. Dispossessed. To hang firm on sympathy for the hundreds who cram the cracks of churches, needing sanctuary from the rain and middling scorn, who make pilgrimage in alleys and sanctify themselves in the halo of fire barrels at 7th and T, ain't no child's play on a hobby horse. So don't. Just don't put no words in my mouth like you were a sadist forcing a jackass to swallow dope and magnesia. Just don't be telling me the way to think like you was the police giving direction to a suicide. Don't. Just don't be universalizing on me, trying to explain myself to myself like you was myself, chastising the bad madness inside me. Hell, attempting to be the godfather at a baptism of rags, I got a hard enough time trying to negotiate grace with the Holy Ghost.
Jerry Ward reading from the WPFW anthology, and he was on the program in the 90s, and here we are again today, all these years later. Jerry gave me this little teeny wimpy bio of his, which read, Jerry is an independent scholar who lives in New Orleans, author of the Katrina Papers and Fractal Songs and other writings. He works on Richard Wright's creative imagination. So behind his back, we found out that in addition to this, Jerry Washington Ward has been in 30 teaching positions as professor or honored residents, 30 different teaching positions. He has had 68 papers delivered in that many colleges, including China. He's received 18 honors and awards, and more are coming. He's held 20 editorial positions for national magazines and journals. He has written 9 books and much more. What do you have to say for yourself, Jerry?
I'd like to meet that guy.
Okay, let's hear another poem.
Okay, this is a poem that I wrote after visiting Alice Walker one afternoon with Michael Harper. It's entitled Open. You are open. The delicate tracery of your soul is exposed. You live a year's December. The cold eyes cast upon the patterns of your being are not often kind, not always clean. Within the heart of your being is a strong cast iron stove, an eternal deepened flame. How otherwise explain your warm survival? Sometimes I watch you, time your exquisite poise. Then you are Zora or Marie Laveau, or a mystery I do not presume to understand. At those times, I fear you most, because I can love you for what you are.
Now that is a beautiful homage to Alice Walker, whom we all love. Yet much of your work is quite difficult. And I would like to know, because you tackle such strong subjects with such truth and courage, how do you express yourself and manage the pain?
Well, I'm not immune to pain. I have lots of it at my advanced age, but I just said to myself to follow my hero, Richard Wright, and to do the difficult thing, to try to tell the truth. And truth, as I tell it, comes out in a very difficult way. Primarily, Grace, because I'm very interested in literacy, and I'm fearful of a loss of critical prowess in this country. I'm getting complaints from many of my colleagues in the university that students do not wish to learn. And if they wouldn't lose their jobs, I would tell the students to stay at home. I'm serious. I'm very serious about that. So when I write poems that have complex turns of phrase or words that are unusual, I'm really trying to challenge readers who are willing to do so to discover something, to discover that the world is not something we can write about in a very flat way. It's always in motion, always changing, and poetry should, well, I'm not going to legislate for poetry, but if a poet wishes, she or he should try to tackle this difficulty.
Well, people like you keep civilization from sinking into the mud. So I say thank you for that, Jerry, and let's have another poem.
Okay, let's try The Impossible All These Years. Sometime before you hit 40, you must step outside your bones, audit the maze your flesh has made, and be amazed how much consequence morality has planted on your feet, how much ambivalence is the harvest of your legs, how much lost potential is born in your gut, how much opportunity has leaked from your pores. From the outside, the prospect is not pretty. Your living is like linen full of cat faces. Your presence is a penitentiary riot. You are criminal, a critical case of becoming the unregenerate image of yourself, but finding peace in your planet, you stride back inside to praise the impossible all these years.
Is that your Ars Poetica to aging, Jerry?
Oh, no, I have a different kind of aging poem. This one was written, I suppose, when I was 40 years old. That's 30-some years ago. So I didn't think of old age at that time. And now I think being 70-something is rather young. You have people who live to be 100-and-some years old. I mean, you know, they're old people.
So you thought that 40 was a time for contemplation. My husband and I always used to say, oh, to be 70 again. We loved 70. So keep going with poetry, Jerry. It is such fun to be with you. This is The Poet and the Poem from the Library of Congress. Jerry Ward is a world-class scholar, a world-class human being, and my friend.
Okay. Because I want to be sure that we get this in. As I've told you before, Grace, in 1981, I wrote a poem entitled Jazz to Jackson to John, for John Reese, who was suffering from cancer, and we were sure he was going to die, and I wanted to give him something before he departed. And much to my surprise, and his and the rest of Jackson, he lived for another 19 years. So I think of the poem as having it's not magic. I don't know. It gave him a great deal of pleasure that I honored him in this way, so I'm going to read it. Jazz to Jackson to John, Movement 1, Genesis. It must have been something like sheets of sound wrinkled with rifts and scats, the aftermath of a fierce night breezing through the grits and gravy, or something like a blind leviathan squeezing through solid rock, marking chaos in the water when his lady of graveyard love went turning tricks on the ocean's bottom, or something like a vision so blazing basic, so gut bucket, so blessed, the lowdown blues flew out. Jazz Jazz for Jackson and Dusk to Dawn and Words for John. It must have been something like Farris Street in the bebop 40s, a ragtag Holy Ghost baptizing Mississippi on an unexpected Sunday, a brilliant revelation for Billy telling you about these foolish things back in your own backyard, angel eyes in the rose room, monks changing piano into horn because it was zero in the sun, and around midnight, there was nobody but you to walk Parker in his jazz to Jackson. Yeah, brother, it must have been something striking you like an eargasm, a baritone axe laid into soprano wood, like loving madly in hurting silence, waiting to finger pop this heathen air with innovations of classical black at decibels to wake the deaf, the dumb, and the dead. Because around midnight, there was nobody but you who dug where the race records were lamentations or lynchings. Jazz. Jazz to Jackson and Sunset to Dawn and Words for John. Movement 2. Blues people in the corn. Steal away. Steal away. Steal away. The heart blow, horn blow, drum drop, the bass, 5/4 time beat, making a 1 o'clock comeback creep behind all that jazz. Beep, 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 beep. Steal way back to beginning. Beginning is the water, is the soul, is the source, is the foundation with my brothers. Is Pharaoh jamming in the pyramids, sketches of Spain for a night in Tunisia? Is MJQ, Tatum, Turrentine, China, the jazz messengers, messiahs, crusading headhunters tracking down the mine? Because, Lord, yes, all God's people got sold. And who'd have thought owning rhythm was a crime, like stealing a nickel or snitching a dime, when we had coffers packed with golden music and time? Golden music and time sliding from the flesh, the bone, honey sweet music. Them lollipopsicle people and they sardine ships and no music to speak of. They stole it all and sold it all, the wooden nickels, the frozen dimes. Jazz. Behind all that jazz, blues people in the corn and the veil of cotton tears, blues people in the corn. Waiting, waiting, waiting in esoteric patience, waiting to steal away, steal away, steal away soon as Miles runs down the Voodoo Avenue with some jazz to Jackson and pipes a private number to call a tune for John. Movement 3. And this John is our new day. And this John is our new day. Never say goodbye to the blues that saw you through, nor put down the spiritual and the salty sermonettes, the drugs, the junkies, the jukebox juice, the sweat and the pain of shelling hot peanuts, jazz, and the jazz you gave to us, we give to you as Jazz to Jackson, and because we really want to thank you, Words for John.
That is Jazz to Jackson. So how long was that in the making? It is an opera in several places, in several sections. So it must have taken you quite a bit of time to piece together.
It took about 2 hours to put it together. I was very much into listening to jazz, and it just kind of flowed out by itself. I mean, there had to be changes, of course. But I didn't spend a whole day writing this.
Oh, that is amazing. It just came from your being. That is so interesting because you must have been in a very good space that day.
Yeah, I was.
Well,
I don't recall that day, but I do recall that it didn't take long to write that poem.
Well, if it added 19 years to his life, you may be getting a lot of commissions for poetry, but I don't know if you can.
Well, I haven't received. I mean, I get invitations to submit poems to various anthologies and magazines, but I don't get commissions. The commissions pay money, and I just give my stuff away.
Let us hear some more from Jerry Ward, scholar and poet. What are we going to hear next?
Well, what we're going to hear next, I think, will be a relatively short poem, Black Boy, because I really liked this, and it was used for a conference at the University of Alabama some years ago. Black Boy. Some black boys go deep south, chiseling attitudes, rise to recognition up north somewhere up north, the compass cannot read. Some black boys stay deep south, battling the cobwebs of a long and lonely dream, making something somewhere somehow out of nothing. And then some black boys know deep south and only be.
That has so much power in it, so much history, so much sensibility. Do you like that poem?
I do. I mean, I don't read it very often, but I like it very much. And the next poem I will read, Grace, is a rather painful one for me, because it's so very personal, it's so very family, it's so very much about fathers and their sons. And I have said many times, we ordinarily give a lot of credit to our mothers and grandmothers, but men have some difficulty in being truly open with one another until recently, until maybe two or three decades ago. Son to father with love, graveyard prayer. You gave me jazz space, Dad, a temple for life, but you never gave me love. And you only know why I am, a gumbo gene pool. Dad, you gave me your brilliant frustration, cynical smile, your guts and guile, the smarts to be no fool, but you never gave me love. Dad, you gave me a real hard time, an icebox of disappointments, nerves pliant as jello, anger like a poison in my lungs, hunger for approval, words to scar my heart. But you never gave me love, nor asked if I needed it to heal the burns of conscience. And I don't know why I am as like you as I am. You gave me the electric train when I was 5. I rode its tracks across a geography of my making, a far distance where you became a bag of groceries, a bottle of gin, a radio listening to a ball game, a crossword puzzle who made money, fudge, and lemon ice. When I was 14, you abandoned me, just up and died, foreclosing on affection, cashiering the unerasable you in me. And I don't know why I am as like you as I am, or cherish your fading traces as deeply as I do.
That is truly an epic poem. And the interesting part about it, beside the truth and the courage, is the love that comes from it. It's burned pure. All of the dissatisfactions are burned pure, and what we are left with is love. That's quite a work.
Well, thank you very much, Grace.
And we talked about the father in literature for men, which is so profound, and it seems to more penetrate the male image in poetry than the female writes about the father. What do you make of that?
Well, when you're thinking of someone like Sylvia Plath writing about her father?
I'm thinking about everybody. I've never met a male poet that didn't write about his father. I think the father in Ocean Vuong said that it has to do with the idea of father, you know, the father in heaven, the father okay. of our country, the mm-hmm. iconic father that seeps in, I guess.
Well, I guess not having read all of poetry, I would be at a loss to say that all poets write about fathers, but I might hazard that in a patriarchal society, that we're certainly in one. It just comes as oh, this is a part of how we live. This is a part of how we are socialized, right? So yeah, you're going to write about your father. You're going to write about Uncle Sam. You're going to write. I mean, I don't know whoever your father is to you, or whatever institution you see as in leadership positions. That's what you gravitate toward, and maybe it comes out as you said, paternoster, father of his country, and that kind of thing.
Very interesting. I never thought of attributing it to the patriarchal society, but you are, of course, absolutely right. And however we internalize our specific experiences. And so we're going to go on now to a poem that you dedicate to an African man who was your friend. What was his name?
His name is Osundare, Niyi Osundare. And I wrote this for him slightly after Katrina, so it would be 2006, Salvation. Griot, in your mother tongue proclaim how wet in this world are words. Married tears in the attic of the August moon soon discover hope, help, a syllable fluent as sweet bamboo, flagellating wind, breath blinding memory. How wet are words in this world? On the third day of tyranny, flame trees call your name. Child of the river, O sun daring man, lake and sea, ocean crossing ancestors unborn to protect you. How are words wet in this world? Child of the river, once you and I were arrogant pronouns, waiting a gulf, warning a clan, when child blood diamond soldiers, knife, rope, and bullet love, rain forbids flower petals to butterfly air. In this world, how are words wet? Intimate losses prepare salvation. Felix Cooper, never one day. When sound shall banish transgressions and conceive us in the womb of speech, extracting innocence from guilt and holiness from Levy Cain, Griot in my mother tongue announce, in this world, how wet words are.
So words connected two people across continents.
Very obviously, and go through pigeonization, creolization, mixtures of language, and that's part of why certain kinds of American English, certain varieties of American English are so rich, because they're infused not only between North America and Africa, but it's Africa, North America, the Middle East, Europe, and you get these words, you know, coming from many, many places, and it makes life a bit more interesting, I would say.
I would say you make life a little more interesting, and we're going to have you read a final poem, and it's going to honor your birthday. Which birthday are you going to read about?
Oh, the most recent one, which I happen to like. This is poem 77. And I wrote it for my birthday, July 31st, 2020. I joined my ancestors in knowing virus. Our minds as dirty as icy fire to confirm a universe. I joined my ancestors. Our tears are stones, wary wise stones that break no windows as they whisper to the wind. Enough. Enough of death eternal. Enough. Enough of defenseless failures which offend the dignity of breathing. I join my ancestors in knowing profoundest virus thriving in icy origins of flame, surviving in ritual of remembering, and enough, enough for dignity to proclaim. I join my ancestors in knowing virus, our minds as sturdy as icy fire, to confirm this universe, the dignity of breathing.
And dignity is a perfect word to go out with. The voice of Jerry Ward. This is The Poet and the Poem from the Library of Congress. We are remote. I'm Grace Cavalieri. The series is produced by Forest Woods Media Productions. Post-production by Mike Turpin, MET Studios. We wish to thank the Library of Congress for making this program possible. Funding is provided by the Rivada Foundation of the Logan Family, with help from the Sinipet Fund and Diane Wilbon Parks. Mike Turpin is our engineer. I'm Grace Cavalieri.